2 Corinthians chapter 1. Another good brother who no doubt needs no introduction. We're glad to have him, our brother Mr. John Hawthorne. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Verse number 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation for manner of living in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. Verse number 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Verse number 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. I have read these verses to complete the trio that was introduced by our brother Jack Hay and continued by our brother Albert Leckie. And this is the third occurrence of the expression, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament Scriptures. I suggest that in 1 Peter, where Jack read from, it is principally to Jewish believers. And our brother Jack dealt principally with the personal aspect of the quotation. Where I am reading from, you know, is principally to Gentile believers. And I'm going to deal principally with the expression God. Our good brother Albert has brought before us from Ephesians chapter 1 some truth out of what we call the universal epistle of the New Testament, so that there we have Jews and Gentiles united together, and we're all blessing God the Father. I trust it as I would point out seven things in the chapter that we'll understand that our God is a perfect God, and we will be able to praise him, and the meeting will indeed be, as we have read in the closing verse number 21, it will be to the glory of God. I had a few simple thoughts connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament. And you will remember that Ruth confessed to Naomi and expressed the burning desire and wishes and longings of her heart, "Thy God shall be my God." That's a very personal experience. That's where our brother Craig links with the message, a personal testimony of getting to know the God of heaven as one's own God. Now I link that in the New Testament Scriptures with Dear Thomas. Sometimes we hear the preachers calling Thomas Doubting Thomas. Well, if that is true, he only doubted for a week. What about those maybe in the meeting tonight and they're not saved yet and they've doubted for a year or 10 years or 20 years? And Thomas comes out with this great God-honoring confession as he falls at the feet of the risen Christ, "My Lord and my God." That's your experience, and that's my experience by simple faith. In Daniel chapter 6, we have a man, Darius, and he confesses in the presence of Daniel, "God is a living God." And they connect that in the New Testament with the writings of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy, and he says, "We trust in the living God, and we have come unto the city of the living God." Ah, the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, dear brethren and sisters, tonight we're associated with a living God. And then there's a third connection that I had in my thoughts with the Old Testament and the New Testament. Naaman confesses in the presence of the prophet and the servant, "There's no God, only in Israel." And I connected that with the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, where Paul finds himself at Antioch, and there's an unknown God, and Paul says, "I declare him unto you." And in chapter 27 of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul says, "I belong to God, and I serve God." Brethren and sisters, have we got that close, personal, warm experience with this God? Now my chapter, as I have suggested, shows us that he's a perfect God. The first thought is he's the God of mercy. God of mercy. The apostle tells us in another chapter he's the Father of mercies, and he tells us in the epistle that our brother was reading from that he's rich in mercy. Where would we have been tonight only for the mercy of God? Well, either down in hell or on the road to it. Our God is a God of mercy. Then he's a God of grace. We have read that in our chapter. And we were enjoying the thought this afternoon in the Bible reading. He giveth more grace. And some of our minds went to Romans 5 and to the reigning monarch of sin. And where sin abounded, grace did abound. No. Grace did more abound. No. Grace did much more abound. God giveth great grace, as our brother pointed out from the Revised Margin. God of mercy, God of grace. That's the beginning of Christian experience. Then we have been hearing about the trials of life. So he's a God of comfort. And then he causes other servants to pass through experiences that they too might comfort the brethren and the sisters. And surely when we need comfort, it's men like D.L. Craig and others that we turn to. Men who have known and trod the path and know something about the hardships of it. If some of you want to know anything about pioneering, there are still pioneers in Ireland. There was a brother who lived for 5 weeks in a caravan, and he passed through those nights when it was -8 and it was -10, and he said everything was all right. And I don't need to mention his name, you know him. He's a gracious, dear, well beloved young brother. God of mercy, God of grace, God of comfort. And then we have read that he's a God of power. He's a God of power. Our brother Craig has already laboured that point also. Then he's the God who is true. God who is true. Oh friend, there's no shade or shadow of turning in God. Isn't that again James chapter 1? You can see there are links with our Bible readings. You know how the brethren's minds work. They hear there's going to be Bible readings, and the subject is the epistle of James and a certain section of it. And they read down through it, and they have little thoughts in it. And they link them with other scriptures, and they link those scriptures with another scriptures. And then the brethren get up and they minister to it, and you feel it burning in your heart. And you're waiting, just could I have 5 minutes to say these 5 or 6 simple things to tie up this little trio of adoration. These little doxologies, we might say, that come from the heart of Peter and came from the heart of Paul, and they could see them in the hearts of the brethren and sisters. I tell you, it's an inspiration to stand up here and to see the faces of the brethren and sisters as they sing and as they praise God, and to see the joy that they have as they're listening to the Word of God. So our God is a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace, and he's a God of comfort, and he's a God of power, and he's a God of truth, and he's a God who has anointed us. And he has anointed us with the Holy Spirit. And that also ties in with our dear brother Albert Leckie. And then the last simple little thought is again a little point mentioned by our dear brother Mr. D.L. Craig. He's the God of promise. Thank God he's my God. And I would like to think that everybody that leaves this building this night will be able to say in their own heart, my Lord and my God.